California, the floods and tornadoes in Kentucky and Tennessee. And just pray, continue to pray that the storms abate. Those of us involved in that ministry need a rest from all the disasters, so pray for that. We'll also be coming up here soon to go to Livingston, Texas. How many of you are signed up to go to Livingston to the prison? There are going to be 9 of us from our little church going, and some of you will be for the first time. We praise God for that. Well, I want to continue the series on the Ten Commandments, and now that we're not having special music, I guess I've got extra time. Right, Brian? I can just go for it. Amen. So y'all just hang on in there. What's the commandment we talked about last week? What did he talk about? 2 commandments. Murder and adultery. And he kind of expressed the fact, right, that they were sins of the heart. That's where it started. And we're going to talk about the eighth commandment today, which is, thou shalt not steal. And is the sin of stealing, is it not a heart thing? It's also a heart thing, isn't it? It really is. But those 4 little words, thou shalt not steal, just like all the other commandments and all the commands of God, they're all important. And they all require us to regard them and to pay attention to them and understand that he put them there. All the commands of God and all the 10 commandments are there. They're basically a manifestation of God's righteousness is what they are. They're instructive to us on how to live and how to relate to one another and how to relate to God. Is that me doing that? Probably is. All right, I'll try to be still. But God gave us all these in His Word so we would have a better life on earth, but more importantly, so that we could give regard to God and understand that when we follow His commands, we're mimicking as best we can His righteousness. And that righteousness, we want to absorb that. And just like practicing for anything, we need to practice following His commandments so that they'll become part of our life and be buried in our heart and just be part of who we are. But of course, this one, thou shalt not steal, we realize that the fact that we should not steal is important to the stability of our society, right? We don't want people stealing all the time. I mean, Trisha and I have been places around the world where, and Peggy and Roger have been there with us, or you leave your camera on the pew of the church for 5 minutes and you come back and it's gone. We've had all kinds of stuff stolen from us on these mission trips that we've taken. And that's just part of the nature. We have stuff stolen all around us here. But the commandment is for us believers. Is it hard for me to imagine that a believer would have a propensity to steal? Can you imagine that? Here I am, a Christian, and I have to have a rule about something that's so obvious. Thou shalt not steal. I want to be a positive influence on my world and not a negative influence. So I should be able to do this thing pretty easily. But sort of like thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, the idea of stealing starts where? In our heart. The heart is wicked. Men lay awake in their beds thinking of evil they can do. That's a pretty bad indictment on us, isn't it? But we think of theft, we think of stealing as taking stuff. Well, let's look at some things here. Stealing is happening all around us, isn't it? It's just part of modern life, and it's been that way from the beginning. But I wrote down some things that, some thieves that we don't often think of. Of course, we think of the car thieves and all those kind of things. But we have con artists and scammers. How many of you got a telephone call from the Medicare department or Social Security? They're thieves. They're robbers. Scammers and con artists. What about on TV and internet? Do you ever see something on the TV or run across an ad on the internet where they're just trying to take your money or take something from you? That's theft. That's robbery. Just the same as if they held you at gunpoint and took your wallet. Exactly the same sin. All these people are intent on taking something that rightly belongs to someone else. That's what stealing is. Stealing is simply the taking of something for yourself that rightfully belongs to someone else. In other words, you have no right to possess it. And if you take it, you are what we call misappropriating it. In other words, taking it and using it for something it wasn't intended for. Well, as I said, it's happening all around us. And a lot of sins happen all around us, murder and all kinds of things, but let's put it in some context. I didn't wake up this morning thinking, you know, somebody might murder me today. Did you wake up thinking that? Somebody might murder me today. You know, I have a beautiful wife and I love her very much, but I didn't wake up this morning thinking, you know, some beautiful woman other than my wife is going to invite me on a date today. That never crossed my mind. Did it cross your mind? Probably not. If you're single, maybe. So I don't usually wake up thinking about that. I don't usually wake up thinking, well, I'm so upset I couldn't sleep because I think somebody's going to lie to me today. That's just kind of a given. I know I'm going to get lied to. But it usually doesn't cost me anything because I can deflect it or ignore it or whatever. But what about stealing? When you got up and left your home this morning, did you lock your house? How many of you locked your house? Yeah, when you left your apartment. Did somebody leave it unlocked? I hope not. Oh, you did. Okay. All right. That's very... Somebody's probably there watching it, I hope. Okay, good. So you left a guard in place. How about when you pulled into the parking lot and got out of your car, did you lock your car? Why? Why did you lock your car? Because you don't want somebody to steal it. You don't want somebody to steal what's inside it. When you go to the mall or the airport or somewhere else, do you hide your stuff in the trunk or cover it up with a blanket? You know, that's because theft is probably one of the most day-to-day impactful things of sin in our lives. But God's talking about sin among the believers of theft. Now, that's weird to me that he would tell his people, his believers, don't steal. That should be, duh, yeah, I'm not going to steal. I love God. But we think about it a lot. Now, we also agree that robbing a bank is bad, right? So when I talk about stealing, that automatically comes to my mind. Stealing property, taking somebody's property. But when we talk about stealing, we sometimes get a little squishy on our definition when we think about non-property stuff. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, I used to be a computer guy back in the day before I was a Christian. Actually, after I was a Christian, I was for a short time. But in that job and in every other job, you know, there's competition and you're trying to do a good job. And if you write a really great program and it saves the company a lot of money, man, you can go into the vice president's office and say, hey, Mr. Thompson, I wrote that program that's saving us all that money. Take a lot of credit. But what sometimes I may not be prone to tell Mr. Thompson was, you know, my programmer over there in that other cubicle, he wrote all the program. I just kind of gave him some direction, but I'm going to take credit for it. Is that theft? That's theft. That's stealing. So we can steal things that are intangible. What other intangible things can we steal? Well, some other things come to mind. One thing that comes to mind is time. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'll try to stop touching that. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been on a job working for somebody else for pay and you maybe get paid by the hour and you take a little bit of an extra long lunch break? Or maybe you come to work 10 minutes late, but you don't make it up. You don't make up the time. You just go ahead and work what time's left and you get paid for a full day. Is that stealing? Really? That is stealing, isn't it? That's stealing something sort of intangible, although the tangible part of that would be the pay that you get. But you steal from each other all the time. How many of us steal, have affection stolen from us? Time stolen from us by loved ones. Not that we're so much do it, but like I love my wife. And I take it very seriously to spend time with her. And if I have an opportunity to do something fun, she'll say, yeah, go do that. But I don't often choose other things over time with my wife. What about choosing other things over time with the Lord? Who owns time? Who owns us? And that's God. It's appropriate to give God all of our time that we can. And we have to work, we have to sleep, we have to do other things. But that's one area of my life where I have the ability to multitask. Did you know that I can fold clothes at home and pray? Do you know I can be driving my car and I can spend time with the Lord? And sometimes we steal that time from God by turning on the good old country music when we really should be praying. Now, I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just simply saying we need to realize that this commandment is more than about property. And for us as Christians, it means something. It means time is a commodity. Our affection is a commodity. Our allegiance, our discipline, our bodies, and also the resources God gives us, those all belong to God. And we need to give Him that portion of His that is due Him, right? When we take it and take it away from Him, it's due Him, but we take it away from Him, that's theft. And when God wrote these commandments, thou shalt not steal, it had to do with our heart as much as what we do physically. Do you have a thieves' heart? Think about it. Now I'm talking to me. Do I have a thieves' heart? Do I think, okay, what am I going to do today instead of doing what God would have me do? I'm basically planning a sin in advance. I'm going to do something today in place of what God would have me do. I'm going to do something Sunday morning in place of going to church and being in worship and fellowship and teaching. I'm going to do something. I mean, how many of you have heard the old fisherman say, well, I can be just as godly on that lake as I can in the church? That's just a blatant lie. Stealing time from fellowship with God. Well, I think of other things that are sort of intangible. I read a story recently, and I thought this could be applicable. So I'm just going to kind of read this story. There was once a man who served as a church treasurer, and he was also a numismatist. Now, I don't know if we have any numismatists in the church today, do we? Oh, maybe not. He was a trusted servant of the church whose duty each week was to make the bank deposit of that week's offering. The church was kind of large, and the offering usually contained a large number of paper money and coins. And so after the offering team counted the money and recorded it all, he would come back to the church on Monday, pick up this deposit for the bank, but instead of going straight to the bank, he would go straight to the bank, but instead of depositing that money, the cash part, he would write out a check or pay cash money in place of the cash that was in the offering plate. You got me? So he kept the cash from the offering plate and replaced it with his own cash. So the bank deposit was correct. He put the same amount, the correct amount of money. But then he would take those bank bills, the dollar bills, and the coins and go home and he would examine each one. See, he was a numismatist. He was a coin collector. He would look at each one hoping to find that magic coin or that magic bill that was worth a lot of money. And over the period of time he was doing this duty, from time to time he would find a coin that was a little bit valuable or a rare dollar bill or a rare something. And he would take it to a coin dealer in his town and he would sell it for 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 times what it was worth on face value. And he would keep the proceeds. Now, is that really wrong? The church deposit was correct. He didn't really get rich. He spent quite a bit of time going through all this stuff. But he wouldn't give the church the extra amount. Is that stealing? It really is. And to put a fine point on it, any time that we cut corners or shave the truth or do anything like that, we're stealing from God. And we need to be careful about that because it puts a brick in the wall between us and the Lord, just like any sin. But we often think, well, I'm not guilty of any of those kind of things, Jody. I don't steal from the church. I don't steal from my boss. When I take a long lunch, I make up my time or I dock my pay. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. But we do a lot of theft of time when we don't spend time with those who God would have us spend time with. We do other things instead. thou shalt not steal. It has such a broader and impactful meaning than just taking property, as we've said. You have to be careful with this idea of stealing because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, and probably all of you have done this too, maybe. There's some of you I can't imagine doing this, but back when I was growing up, a bag of Fritos was like 15 cents. Anybody remember that? When a little bag of Fritos was a dime or 15 cents? Can you imagine that, how cheap it is? Now it's like $1 or something. But when I would go down the street from middle school in Commerce, Texas, there was a little convenience store that it was the first year we were able to leave the campus. And we could walk down the street a couple of blocks and buy an RC Cola and a Moon Pie. And some of the kids would take a bag of chips or something. And they would say, go ahead and get a bag of chips. Nobody cares. One day I took a bag of chips. I choked it down. I didn't enjoy it. It chewed on me, the guilt of it. Not because it would cost 15 cents, but because it was against the nature I'd been raised up in. I grew up in church. I knew it was wrong. But I did it anyway to impress my friends. That's another reason we steal, is to impress people. You know, that guy over there, he's in church all the time. All he does is talk about Jesus and all that stuff. But, well, I'm a Christian, you know, but I don't do all that. Because I want my reputation to be cool and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes, here we go. We trade the sin of stealing for something else we consider valuable. A misguided reputation. An opportunity that really wasn't ours. We just have to be careful about that. Thou shalt not steal. Taking credit, as I mentioned before, you know, when you take credit for something that you didn't do, you are stealing from someone else. But like I said, we get kind of squishy about some of these things. And we say, well, that's really not so bad, Jody. What are you talking about? Because often we'll say, well, it was just a little white lie. It was just a little white lie. What is a little white lie? It's a lie. And what does God say about lies? Thou shalt not lie. But it was just a little white lie. So I get kind of squishy about that stuff. What about, I only thought of killing him. I actually didn't do it. I actually only thought about killing him. And what's wrong with that? Is that a sin? If I seriously and sincerely thought about killing someone and wanted them dead, that's a sin. How many of you remember back in the day, well, gosh, I could go way back, but let's just go not so distant past, the days of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, invaded Kuwait, President Bush kicked him out, we ended up going to war with him later. Did any of us ever think, well, I wish he would just die? I did, and I realized that was wrong. I shouldn't wish him just to die. I should wish him to come to Christ. It's not up to me whether he dies or not. Well, it was just one little packet of Splenda at the restaurant. Nobody's going to notice. One little packet of Splenda. Is that stealing? It is stealing. You see, we like to get squishy about it. We like to put a real fine point on it because we have a sort of a sin thermometer, don't we? Now, if you're honest, you probably say yes. I have a sin thermometer. God, if I really need to, I'll sin this much. But I'm not ever going to go this much, Lord. I'm just not going to do that. But you know, this a packet of Splenda. Who cares? Is that stealing? Unless you have an agreement with the restaurant owner to take an extra packet or two of Splenda, it's theft. So we cannot emphasize the fact that it's a very, very black and white issue. It either is or it's not. It's on or it's off. It's up or it's down. It's black or it's white. It's theft or it's not theft. Here's what the proverb says, and you know I'm going to get to Scripture. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31 says this. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry, But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. Here's an area where we get squishy. A starving person is, we would say, might be justified in stealing a loaf of bread. What does the proverb say? I don't care how hungry you are. It's still theft because, look, I can prove it. There was a punishment for it. We go, well, I'm sorry you were hungry, and I can kind of understand why you stole that bread, but you still stole the bread. And so because you stole, here's the punishment. So I know that we can, in our hearts and our minds, kind of justify some things, but we have to realize stealing is stealing. For a Christian, there is no gray area. I don't care how hungry you are. Now, why can I say that? Because when you steal, you're taking away, stealing something that doesn't belong to you, but you're also stealing God's opportunity to provide for you. You're saying, I don't trust you, God. I'm hungry, and I'm so hungry that I'm unto death, and I don't trust you, God, to provide for me when you promised you would provide. God, I don't trust you. And that sometimes results in stealing, and that's sometimes the symptom behind the theft. So we can have sympathy for these folks who steal to, quote, survive. But in fact, they're taking something if they're Christians. Now, we don't have to be too concerned about the non-Christians. They're going to do what they're going to do. But as a Christian, I don't want to be in that category of a thief. Jesus has some pretty strong words about that. And we'll read that later. But he's very, very clear that theft is wrong. But what about the case where, but Lord, I really, 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 really want it. And I really need it. So that makes it okay, right? No. It's still theft. Jesus was very direct about this idea. Look in Matthew 6:33, a verse we probably could all just recite. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's actually in the previous passage addressing all these physical needs that people proclaimed that they had. What to wear, what to eat, shelter, health, all those kind of things. And Jesus says, put first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And as Christians, that's our antidote against theft. That's our antidote against this idea that ever stirs in their heart, I'm going to take that even though it's not mine because I need it. God didn't provide it. God says, I'll provide everything you need. Seek me first. See, this is a key. It's like a key to the storeroom. Imagine that. God's given us a key to his storehouse, and that is seeking his righteousness. Now, what it did not say is, but first attain righteousness. He didn't see it say that, did he? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He doesn't expect us to get there. We know we're not going to get there this side of Jesus. But when we are seeking God's kingdom, seeking his righteousness, that puts our heart right, doesn't it? And that gets down to the nut of the matter. It's a heart thing. When we get our heart right with God, we're less prone to be tempted to steal property, to steal time, to steal affection, to steal whatever intangibles that there are. He goes on and says in Mark 19, and this is Jesus talking to the rich young man. He says, you know the commandments, do not murder. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, which is another form of stealing. Honor your father and mother. Jesus brought up this idea of do not defraud. What is defrauding? It's basically tricking someone. That's what the guy on the phone scammer does. He's defrauding someone. That's stealing. And God says don't do that. That's the same category of sin. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, these are some pretty strong words. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a character trait that has no place in God's kingdom. And it absolutely has no place in God's people. He goes on, there's a great story. Most of you know the story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who cheated God. They stole from God. I'm going to read that short couple of verses. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And we all know what happened to them. They both fell dead because they sinned by stealing from God. They kept back what they had told everybody they had given to God. So they did two things. They lied and they stole. See, but God knows. He knows the act of stealing, like every other sin, is selfish and it's wrong and it's an affront to God. Proverbs 6 says this in verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil, wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. I didn't see the word thievery or theft in that whole thing. So where do I get this? Look at verse 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. The idea of stealing something is what? It's a wicked plan. Now you might say, well, Jody, a packet of Splenda, is that really a wicked plan? Sorry. As one who's guilty of doing that, I have to say yes. It's a wicked plan. It goes against the grain of God. And then he goes on and said, the feet that make haste to run to evil. That means I not only make a plan, but I'm pretty quick to do it. I don't give a pause in between making the plan and doing the sin, because if I put a pause in there, guess what? My heart might intervene and say, no, don't do that. And this goes for a lot of sin, but we're talking about theft today. But think about it. Have you ever had in your mind, I'm going to do this or that, or I'm going to say this or that, and you pause just long enough for the Holy Spirit to say, don't do that? You ever had that experience? What God says here is don't be one of those people, because I hate that. I hate that you devise a wicked plan in your heart and you're so quick to execute it that I don't have a chance to come into your heart and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? God is really good about doing that. He does that to me all the time. He's always telling me, don't do that. I've learned to pause. When I have, man, Tricia, this is a great idea. You know, before I say that to Tricia, you know what I've done? I'm going to make sure it's a good idea. Because too many times I'll go to her and say, I'm so excited. I just had this idea and here it is. And she'll go, what are you thinking? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I'm so glad that stealing is not on the list of things God hates, but it really is. It's in there making an evil plan and then jumping quick to execute it. That's in the list. So whether I feel that something is steal something tangible like money or property or something like that, the intangible things I steal are just as bad. I take time away from someone to whom it's due. I take affection away from someone to whom it's due. I take my allegiance to God away from Him when I'm prone to do this or that I shouldn't be doing. So it doesn't matter whether it's money and things or whether it's one of these intangibles. If it's due, I should be doing it. If it's not due, then I have some leeway. But when it's due to somebody or belongs to somebody, I don't want to take it from them. Relationships are one of the areas where we always struggle. I don't really want to go over to his house today because he's such a pain. He just wants to tell war stories. And it's just so long. It's a bother. But if God's telling you to do it, you got to do it. Trish and I could tell you stories of visiting people that we just really, really didn't want to do it. But God used it in a way to bring them to himself. And we go, well, thank you, Lord. I hated that whole hour that I had to spend with that nut. But praise God, he came to Christ at the end. You know, I can't say I particularly enjoy going into the prison and standing on concrete for an hour or so and talking to people I don't know who've done all kinds of things. I mean, in my physical body, I don't really enjoy that. But at the end of it, what do we say, Peggy? Praise God. Praise God. Well, at the end of it, it's really just a measure of our heart. So the question really is, where's your heart? Here's how I conclude. Faithful obedience to God's commandments should be manifest in our lives. That's part of the cloak of Christianship that we wear around. The idea of obeying God's commandments is part of what we are on this earth. We're God's people. And we wear a cloak, and people know it. And if we damage or get dirt on that cloak through some of these sins, including theft, we damage our witness. And we don't want to damage our witness. I remember what I need to remember are these things. First, I obey God because I love Jesus and His Word. I just love Him. I want to obey Him. I obey Him because I love Him. If I didn't love Him, I wouldn't care about obeying Him. But I love Him, and that's why I obey Him. I obey God because I trust Him. I don't have to wonder, is He going to meet my need? I can trust Him. There's no need to lie, cheat, steal. I always know God is right, so I can obey Him. He is never, ever wrong. Like I like to say, God is always right, and God is always good. I also need to remember that I obey God because it's good for me and my family and all my relationships. When I obey God, things go better in my life with my relationships, doesn't it? I obey God because I do not and should not love the things of the world. If you love the things of the world, God's not in you. I love to obey God because I don't want to be obedient to the things of the world. I obey God because it gives me the opportunity to witness to others. Can you imagine Charles Manson trying to witness to his friends in prison? Can you imagine that? Even if he had come to Christ, even if he was just a sold-out Christian, his witness would have already been damaged, wouldn't it? As a Christian, I've told my testimony many times that I am a child of Christ in a large measure because of two people where I worked who lived out their Christian walk. And I saw that, and I said, I need that. So we need to remember this. Our witness speaks volumes for people. And when we steal, you know, whether it's a, you know, I don't want to cut it so fine that it gets ridiculous, but, you know, if I say I need a box of paper clips for my kid's school project, don't go take it from the office. Go to Walmart and buy it. Don't let your witness be damaged. Well, I hope that we don't damage our witness with this sin or any other sin, because God's gospel is ultimately important. You see, Jesus came to die for us, and He just simply wants us to come to Him in faith. We're going to have a little time of invitation here right now, and I'm going to share with you the gospel message one more time. You'll come and we'll just pray quietly. And if you'll stand with me and pray. I know most of you in the room, not all of you, but you never know when there's somebody here who does not know the Lord. So just listen to this. I'm going to just ask you in a minute to pray. And when I pray, just pray along with me. You can say it out loud or in your heart. And it may be words you've already said sincerely, and that's fine. It may be words that you've never prayed before sincerely from your heart. So join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that You are the only Son of God. I know that You died on the cross for me. You are the only source of forgiveness. You are the only Savior from my sins. Today, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I confess my sins to You. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Change any part of me. Make me the man or woman that You created me to be. Because today, Lord Jesus, I want to receive the free gift of eternal life. I want to live with You forever in heaven, and I want to be Your witness here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, maybe you've been a Christian a long time but never really nailed it down like that, please see me after the service. We want to just nail that down with you. And we're going to have a short invitation here. I'm here at the front. If you want to come down and pray or just come down and say a word or two, do that while we sing. It'll just be very short. Not going to take long.